Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we are figuring out who is going to be the next CEO. That's right. Succession is over. And we know the answer. So
I guess, yeah, right. We have figured it out, i.e. we watched.
Yeah, I did not plan that intro. I was freeballing it.
That's why we're the CEOs of Space Trash Empire Radio.
The co-CEOs, a la yeah. Roman and Kendall. This is going to be spoiler alert. All the spoilers are happening. Turn it off. Well, just turn it down so we still get the play credit.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't listen if you don't want it to be spoiled. I mean, duh.
But thanks for having it on the background, like low volume, just for the thank you so much, team.
Yeah.
What great leaders we are.
For the analytics, so that Gojo will like us.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk through the ending, and then we're going to talk about the astrology of all the people.
What we think they are. Obviously, these are fictional characters. And we did get some birthdays throughout the four seasons, but they never really log, because it's all just in beautiful locations. We never know what time of year it actually is, unless it's like Christmas.
Yeah.
So this is our hypothesis on what we think each character represents astrologically.
Yeah. And with shows, you can't go by the birthdays that the writers write for them, because they don't know. They're not
God. Astrologers. They don't know.
Yeah. So, okay, Sarah, what did you think of the finale?
I have two separate answers. I loved how it ended. I thought the episode itself was a bit of a bore. Like, it might have been one of my least favorite episodes of the season of the series, but I was satisfied with the ending. And it is sort of, while I was watching it, it ended up being what I predicted.
The thing about Succession is it's kind of always a little bit, not boring, but it's talky.
It's talky. There's action as much as it's just I'm trying to think of a different word than play, because I want to say it plays more like a play.
Yes,
but
it is
like a play more than it is a TV show.
It would literally work as a radio play. They use no cinematic language whatsoever. There's no real, the only visual trademark of it is the shaky handheld camera work. There are a few shots in the final episode that definitely harkened back to earlier shots, but I like to think that it's a joke among the writers that the show is so talky and so not visually guided that's why they're always sending them on vacation, because if in film school, we've both been to film school, your professor would send this back and they like this script and they would be like, there's nothing visual happening. This is not cinema. This is not television, you know? So I think they're kind of like, it's a little bit of a wink and a nod to the viewer and to the writing industry to be like, yeah. We know nothing visual is happening. So let's send them to Capri. Let's send them to St. Bart's, you know, let's send them to castles. So it's kind of funny, 'cause it's like, it's almost like Real Housewives where they're just arguing on vacation all the time.
Right. It is. Yeah, this is just the real housewives of corporate world of New York scripted.
But that's the thing. It is so talky. And even Nick and I'm in a hell of my own making. We're trying to maybe sell our apartment, so things are very bad. And we're basically our cycles, our succession cycles have decoupled We've consciously decoupled our Succession watching because I was like, I'm sorry, I have to podcast about it today. So Nick was like walking around doing stuff while I was watching it. And he was like, oh, I don't want it to get ruined. And I was like, it's nothing you hear could ruin it because.
Right. That's so true.
You know what I mean? Like it's so. Yeah. The alliances flip so quickly and the show is so talky and they're just talking about business. You could walk by in the. Absolutely. Like, okay. So I think the climax of the episode and literally made me gasp several times. I mean, it was cool. I love the way they write it because there was a mini climax with Greg and Tom fighting in the bathroom. Yeah. And then you see why those guys are actually going to end up on top and the Roy siblings are not, because the Roy siblings have their fight in a boardroom with everyone watching. And that's why no one takes any of them serious enough to be the fucking CEO, but Tom gets to be it. But like him and Greg fighting in the bath in this fancy bathroom was like the most perfect metaphor for who they are in the show, who they are in the world. They have to just fight in the bathroom. Yes, it's a fancy bathroom, but they're slapping the shit out of each other. But they still get where they want to be because they're smart enough to hide it because they're not the Roy siblings who were born so rich. But so yeah, I thought that the climax of the show was that fight in the conference room.
Definitely. Oh, it was jaw dropping. And yeah. I agree. I think that the writing of the show, like just whether it's a radio play or we are hearing them in Capri, I think the writing is excellent. I think the characters are right. real and so
we would not ever be so bold as to shade the writers.
Right. And it really is Shakespearean in, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And a lot of, you know, Brian Cox famously was, he even, I think, wrote a book on his experience playing King Lear. And you know what's interesting? Do you know that Jesse Armstrong and a lot of the guys who were on the writing and production staff were also the guys who did Peep Show back in the day, the comedy?
No, that's
comedy and drama. There's a thin line between comedy and drama, folks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has been one of the only shows that makes me laugh.
And I laugh out loud.
Yeah, yeah. It's like The Sopranos, because The Sopranos, like yeah. David Chase always said, actually, I just thought it was a comedy and everyone took it so seriously.
But, right. But yeah, I think like, that to me, I knew that Kendall had no shot during the scene in the mother's kitchen because it was so connected. Like, most comedies end with a happy ending. This isn't most comedies. It is a dark comedy. So it was going to end tragically in whatever way, or at least, I mean, the whole thing in a way is a tragedy because there's no character that you like, but like, I knew that when we were seeing them all crown Kendall the king with the gross drink and how close they all were, you got the sort of the reminders that they were kids together and that they are just these three kids and they actually are in whatever way wishful to be a team and connected. I was like, there's no way that this is going to have like just a happy ending like that. Like all the kids are just, okay, we crown you, Kendall. We're at a united front. It's like, no fucking way. There's way too much more of the episode left.
Right. And I loved how, so, okay. The thing, cause they're all fighting all the time. The three siblings and everyone else, they're all switching allegiances all the time. Everything is always changing. So as we're gearing up for the final showdown where they're in the boardroom, where they're in the meeting taking the votes, I'm like, what could possibly take this fight that they're about to probably have and amp it up to a level that we haven't seen before? And I should have known there were hints everywhere. Earlier in the episode, Shiv says, I'm not Lady Macbeth. She literally references
Lady
Macbeth.
Yeah.
Second of all, who notoriously convinced her husband to kill the king so that her husband would be the king and she would have more sway. And then the other thing is like, it's the title of the show, Succession. The thing that ramps up that fight is when Roman brings up the next generation.
Yep.
And he's like, no, but Shiv is pregnant with the bloodline. He's like, no offense, but like, your kids aren't the bloodline.
I laughed out loud at that line when he's like, they're just two randoms. Cause that has been like an unspoken truth the entire series where it's like, oh, those are his kids. And like, they have no real part in the show. Rava is constantly trying to protect them. Kendall is using them as like just a thing to say the kids, but he couldn't care less about them as evidenced by the scene before the funeral where he's like, I'm laying down in front of this car before it's like the kids feel unsafe, bro. Like, but he has no care about them actually whatsoever. Shiv does have the only successor, the only next generation Roy in the works.
Right. So that's when you're like, oh my God, that's why Shiv would turn on a dime. She knows that she's not going to be the fucking CEO ever if it goes to Kendall. And she's not going to be the CEO if it goes to Mattson. But if Tom is going to be the CEO, then she actually is securing like a legacy for her kid.
Absolutely. But, and for herself. And because that means that she gets to have whatever power she chooses. Tom is her patsy. Like Tom will lay down and do whatever anybody in a position above him says. That's like what that whole meeting beforehand too, when Mattson and Tom have that meeting and Mattson's like, I'm going to fuck your wife. You really are going to have no power. You're just going to be the front guy who absorbs the pain. And Tom's like, yeah, great.
Yeah. I also love, I mean, you saw from the beginning that Tom was the character most like Logan, even though he is not as creative or dynamic as Logan. He is more of, and we can start getting into the astrology, maybe a Virgo, maybe a Capricorn.
Him as Virgo. I had Tom as the most blatantly Virgo character. Because servile. When she says to him on the balcony, you're just servile. It's like, yeah, he's a Virgo. Maybe Cancer Moon. He's a Virgo.
He will clean up other people's messes for them just to get a seat at the table. And like, that's not what Logan Roy was like, but he's got this Midwest upbringing that they're always lording over him and throwing back in his face. Roman calls him a dry cleaner at one point, but it's like, no, he's got the humble beginnings that makes him actually able to strategize in a smart way. That's why he's fighting in the bathroom and not the boardroom with glass walls. He's not walking through the Hertz rental car. He's fucking walking on the red carpet. And then if he needs to do something weird, he's going to do it behind closed doors.
Because 100%.
Well, and he's the only one. Fuck you money.
Exactly. Well, and he's the only one that actually works. Like Logan worked. Tom worked. Tom's a normie. Tom worked his way into this scene in New York, into the bedroom of Shiv, into the, like, his moral code is based on his own job security. And that is what fuels all of his decisions. And so knowing that, he's the only one that is actually even relatively qualified to take on the role of CEO, not only because it isn't really actually a powerful position, but also because he works. Nobody else works.
The rest of them just go to dinners and lunches and
fight about who's going to work.
Right. Because the funny thing about every workplace drama or comedy is like no one ever does any work. And this is one of the only ones where you actually can, the people who are on the show not doing any work, you're like, yeah, it actually completely checks out that none of the Roy siblings are doing any work.
In the early seasons, they kind of are. Kendall is sort of working with his dad and very clearly wants to take over the company. I think Roman was working in like social or something. He had like some bullshit
and
job.
And Shiv was a political operative. So she had a real job.
Right. So she had a real job. But I feel like part of what they, when Shiv's talking about her political career, I think they sort of hint at the fact that part of her even having the career that she did was bullshit, like because of who she was, that's how she got in. But then also that she didn't really believe anything. So it's like she wants to appear to be on this higher moral ground than her brothers because she's like hypothetically a Democrat and hypothetically working for the Democrats. But actually, when it comes down to it, she was just a role she was playing in a competitive way. She was just competing with them.
I do think she does believe that, even if it is just a way to differentiate herself, like because we even saw it in the presidential election.
Yeah.
But okay, what do you think is Shiv's sign? Because I think that, like, it's really, I always rooted for her just because she's the only girl, and like they never took her seriously because of that, even though there was really no reason why she shouldn't be taken as seriously as Kendall. And I don't know. I feel like, at the end, I think her speech at the dad's funeral was very telling, because her saying he couldn't even fit a whole woman in his head. He didn't understand women. And now that she's pregnant, she's kind of understanding like, okay, I actually do have a new role in life. And even though I could be the person that has a 36-hour maternity leave, a la Sheryl Sandberg, like, this actually is giving me a new power as well, because I'm still married to Tom. It's still his kid. If Tom is going to be getting anywhere in life, like, I actually can force him to bring us along with him because of this, I guess.
And I wouldn't even have to force him, whether Tom says it or not. Like, Tom is very angry, rightfully so, with her at the end of this season, but he really has never wavered on his commitment to her. He is not happy to be even in a divorce conversation with her. He wouldn't. He's taken so much shit. And he also doesn't know, in a lot of ways, she actually has had his back over the course of the four seasons more than he knows. I think their relationship has also been such a central focus of the show this season. And it's like, of course, they were going to take it all the way down for them to then sort of tragically end up together. But like, if they were going to get divorced, they would already have been divorced. They're rich enough to just get divorced. Right. They were Shiv is smart in the way that she knows that because she's a woman, her father and her brothers have a different idea of where she belongs and what she's good for. And so she does play that card. Like, she plays her marriage card as a strategy the whole time, and keeping Tom there and keeping their relationship on the table, even when it's not, has been her number one business play the entire time. I thought it was interesting that they had that conversation earlier in the show where she's like, get the sense she's sort of sincere, like, do you want to have a real relationship? Which, yeah, whatever that means to them, who knows? But I started rewatching from the first season just out of curiosity a few weeks ago, and I don't know, Ramsey and I got in a huge debate over this last night, and he was very upset that Kendall didn't win, blah blah blah, but like, I thought that even from the beginning, even though she was a total asshole and obviously has like too much trauma to love, I get the sense that she and Tom did, their marriage wasn't always bullshit. I think she panicked after the wedding and said, oh, by the way, I'm non-monogamous, and that was the beginning of the end. But I think that, I don't know, I got the sense that first season that they did have love in whatever way they were able to, as total fucking narcissists.
Yeah. And I also think that he is lording this pregnancy over her. Like, he has realized this is a bargaining chip for him and that she's now vulnerable. Like, you saw him being nasty to her since she told him about the pregnancy in a way that you have never seen him be toward her.
Well, ever. He was beforehand, though.
At least not outwardly.
The meanest thing he said was, and actually, maybe you should not be somebody who is a mother, or something like, he says in like a weird way, but he says that before she knows that she's pregnant. See, to me, it's interesting because Caroline, their mother, was featured in the second half of this season more than she usually is. And I feel like that was also going on in Shiv's mind, where she was kind of selling herself to Matson, like, you know, like 48-hour maternity break and then I'm back. I think there's also a tape running in her mind, like, wow, am I really just going to be my mother who just abandons my child too? Like, I don't know, I think she really did, Shiv really did win. If you talk about who won Succession, Shiv won. It's a tragic ending in a way, but by proxy, by marriage, Shiv won out of the siblings.
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think she believed Matson at all that he would make her CEO? He never really was that like concrete on it. And there's no guarantee ever when you're doing stuff like that, that that's what he's actually going to do. Like, she seems so smart and so cunning, but she always has blind spots. Like, she always has just, whether it's false confidence or whether it's like, she just, no one else would have done that. Like, no one else would have been like, oh my God, I'm going to be the CEO. I can't believe it. After like two tepid conversations. Like, what is that? What is that in her chart? Also, let me read some of the suggestions we got, because we asked the crowd. My two favorite ones, Casey, friend of the pod, my sister, Casey Bunker.
Sister of the pod.
Yeah, sister of the pod. And Alyssa. So Casey said Scorpio thinks she's sneaky, but she's not. I think Scorpios do have a little more follow through. Like, they do. She never gets a harebrained scheme to work, ever.
You could argue that her harebrained scheme to marry Tom worked, but that wasn't what she was after.
It wasn't her number one.
It was an accident. Scheme. That's a happy accident. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She always manages to pull herself along by her shoelaces, mm-hmm, rather than pulling herself up by her bootstraps. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just made up a new cliche. But do you know what I mean? Like, she's totally. She's always got a plan cooking, and then it fails and she figures it out. But like, her plan A never goes through. And Alyssa, who is very big astrological, you know, what do I say?
Student of the stars.
Yeah, student of the stars.
Join the Patreon, Alyssa.
Not a fanatic. What is the enthusiast? Jesus
enthusiast.
Christ.
She's enthusiastic about it.
I just say ice cream, so I'm probably in
hell
shock.
Hell yeah.
Okay, she said, Sagittarius queen, this babe changes her mind and alliances on a damn dime. I could see her being a Sagittarius because she definitely likes to party.
Sagittarians,
they're definitely out for themselves.
They're out for themselves, but they're bigger. Like, if she was a Sag, she would have been more in the headlines, let's just say. Like, Sagittarians are big showmen in whatever way. And she is sort of a behind-the-scenes player. I mean, to me, I think Sag, not Sag, to me, I think Shiv, even the name Shiv, like that she's a stab, like, isn't that like a knife, a shiv?
Yeah.
So that's so not a coincidence. To me, she's clearly an Aquarius. She's calculating, always thinking about the bigger picture, doesn't give a fuck about people's feelings, super intellectual, but not quite personal, doesn't give a fuck about the like humanity. Like, she cares about large scale power. She doesn't care about people.
Yeah, but she... Again, I think if she was an Aquarius, her dastardly schemes would go through more often.
But it did. I mean, the thing is that none of these characters, the only character whose quote unquote schemes went well, the only characters are Tom and Greg, but their scheme wasn't much of a scheme other than to literally just like get on the track. Like, Tom's scheme was to marry Shiv, but other than that, he just literally kissed ass. He was the ultimate sycophant, like just literally did everything he needed to do in order to always be the guy because he wasn't afraid to work. I feel like that scene at the funeral where I think that it all changed. I think Madsen was considering Shiv, but why did I think she believed it? Because I thought that she thought that she was, number one, actually trading something of value to him. And I thought that she knew, which is true, that he wanted to fuck her.
I don't think she was thinking about that.
Oh my God, I definitely do. I think she was playing her when she's in there with him, like doing blow and having glasses of whiskey while pregnant. Like, no, she was flirting with, they were flirting. And that scene where he comes onto her airplane, she knows what she's doing.
But I don't think she has any interest in actually like doing that.
I think she definitely does and will. But either way, I think that she, as an Aquarius, like she's selfish, she's cold. And ultimately, all she really wants is to end up like on top.
I don't think she's an Aquarius. I think she is I don't know what I think she is. I have to come back to that.
Put a pin in Shiv.
Okay. How about Logan Roy? I think if anyone's an Aquarius, it's him.
No way. He's way too expressive. I said Leo or Sag for sure.
Yeah, Leo, not Sag, because I agree. If Shiv was a Sagittarius heiress, she would have been a Paris Hilton type of person.
But I don't
see Sagittarius is not, they're not motivated really by like money and work. They're kind of just like trying to have adventures. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Like if she was a Sagittarius, she would have been off doing her own thing. She would have stayed in the political on her own. But that's why.
I think Logan's Leo, clearly a Leo.
Definitely a Leo.
Screaming at people, fuck off, his emotions, his drive. I mean, the fact is he did create this whole empire out of nothing.
Yeah.
Like they, and at the funeral, when Ewan gives his speech, you really get a sense of like, wow, this is a genuinely wounded child. You can see the beginning of his narcissistic personality disorder starting to form from childhood when on the boat and that whole harrowing tale. And then it's like, no, he did everything he could to serve his own pleasures, to build his own empire, and expresses himself and loud and proud.
He frequently made bad decisions and mismanaged and had huge fires to put out all throughout his empire.
Yeah.
Like it was very Leo-esque. Yeah, he's a Leo. There's no.
Right?
I think he's got Aquarius in there, though, because I think he, you know, managing all of those different types of companies
I mean, I could see him being like an Aquarius rising where he really is just kind of leading as this cold, detached innovator. But then, right. Yeah, that would put his son in the seventh house being like in relationships. I am the king for to all of you.
And his dying project was Living Plus, trying to play God and make people live together. Come on, Aquarius.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's deep. But I would say, yeah, he could be Aquarius rising. Leo sun.
Casey thinks he's an Aries. I would agree. He's probably got some Aries in there because
maybe Aries moon.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Okay, Kendall. So why do you think, before we get into his stuff, why do you think the siblings were so against him being the CEO when push came to shove?
Because they're all so damaged from their childhood. Like, I feel like the CEO position to Kendall was what he felt was his birthright. And that I think he's telling the truth when he's like, my dad told me at seven. Like, I think Kendall was obviously the most appropriate of he was the only one that was appropriate and working for it his whole life.
Yeah. And he had a few really big moments in the most recent episodes where he showed real leadership. And you were like, okay, this is not L to the OG anymore.
Yeah.
The Living Plus
L to the OG.
You know, like the Living Plus presentation was so good. The speech he gave, the eulogy at the funeral was so good. He was really looking good as a CEO. But sorry, continue what you were gonna say.
Well, no, but you're right. And that's what Randy's argument was. This is all about like fucked up family dynamic. I mean, it is like in the end. And he's like, the fact is this was Kendall's and Shiv fucked him in the end. But why? Because I think that they saw the succession, because it was a choice, as a connection to whatever there was of their father's love. And I think they were just competitive siblings who just couldn't let the other one have anything good that they didn't also have. Like, I think just being competitive with each other was just a part of their nature that they could not shake. I also think when it comes to Shiv, well, actually, no, two things. I think both of them actually also didn't want Kendall to be CEO for two different reasons. I think that Roman didn't want Kendall to be CEO because ultimately, like, as the other boy, Roman felt a lot of sort of pressure, and you know, he felt in comparison he was such a loser if his brother's CEO and he's just like the loaf. But I think Roman, you see him at the bar at the end, he's the happiest actually to be out.
Yeah,
like I think he knows that if Kendall was CEO that he would in some way have to keep this facade going that he did want to be a part of the company. The first episode he's literally like, I don't think corporate life's for me, man. But Kendall would have kept him in the fold and he would have felt that he had to, for you know, to keep up the appearance. I think Shiv didn't trust Kendall as far as she could throw him. And she knew that if he became CEO, when she's saying you wouldn't do a good job, that's not what she means. What she means is you wouldn't protect me. You haven't protected me. You wouldn't protect me. You didn't even make me the triad CEO when it was the two of you. I think she knew that she could be pushed out the minute that he's in a bad mood. He wouldn't protect her. And she knew that. And actually, when it came down to it, Tom not only would protect her because he does love her, but he would protect her because she's the father of his child now.
Mother of his child. Yeah. I think
mother of his child.
I think it was so great when Roman actually was the wisest one of all in that climactic scene of them fighting in the boardroom, saying over and over again, hey, we're bullshit. It's nothing. We are nothing. Like, he gets it. Like you said, he's like, we are three fail sons, two fail sons and a fail daughter. Our dad was a great man. We are not that. Like, they even showed his face when Kendall said at the eulogy, which was amazing. And then he's like, and I just hope I have some of that in me. And Roman winced. And it's like, yeah, Kendall, that just took it just too far to take it to that one last like push. It was like, no, none of that is in you. Like, you're just a shitty little rich boy.
But yeah, they couldn't give it to Kendall because ultimately they're all narcissists, just happy to fight with each other.
Yeah. What I loved about that is he was, Roman was stating the theme of the show and the whole point of the show, which is like, this is America. You don't get to just be a fail son. Like, you are going to get beat out by the nobody from the Midwest with the Ellis Island last name, Wamsgans.
Right.
Like, this is it's the American dream. It will always win. And literally, that's what I love about, like, if I could get a doctorate in something, it would probably be American studies, because I just love the way the American dream permeates so much, like, film, TV, movies.
Yes.
Like, or novels. Like, if this...
Well, it's like the ultimate hero journey.
Yeah, if Succession was British, first of all, it wouldn't be. And...
It would be The Crown.
Right, it would literally be The Crown. And, like, it would be... like, it would just be people driving themselves nuts, but it goes to the oldest son anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So that's what I love about... I love how Roman... He is seen as the fool and the mascot of the family and the goofball and the dumbass and the weird little sex pervert and the most emotional one. He's falling apart at the funeral. And in the end, he's the only one with any wisdom who actually understands the way that this is supposed to go.
Well, and I think that part of what we saw in Roman, we had a few moments, like there were a few moments where we're like, maybe he is the most like his father. Like maybe he is the one that's just like, fire them. Like, I don't care what people think. Like, but you get the sense that Roman actually was really listening to what his father was saying, because I feel like right before he died, I think like it was episode 3 of this season where, right, Logan says it flat out, you are not serious people. And that is the thesis of the show. And that is where, you know, none of them are going to win. It's why he hasn't named an heir and why he sort of dabbled with all of them. But ultimately, none of them are really good enough to succeed him in the end, because they are not serious people. And Logan is a serious person. And actually, Tom's a serious person.
Yeah, that's why, like, okay, I know we just completely skipped Kendall. But like you're saying, Roman had that the verve that his dad had. He was able to work a room the way that Logan was. He was able to command attention. I could see him also being a Leo or having a Leo North Node or something like that, but not having the Aquarius at all, because he does not see the bigger picture whatsoever. Like, I think he's very emotional and he's also all show, no go. So like, I could see him also being a Leo. And I could see him thinking that gave him a license, being the same sign as his dad meant that he actually is supposed to, you know, because if any of them knew astrology, maybe it would be him.
Mm-hmm. I see. To me, I wrote my notes. I have him as a Gemini because of just the clear two, like, 1 minute he's like, I'm the big man, I'm ready to do this, I'm funny, I'm fast, I'm quippy, I'm cool. And then the other side, he like literally can't handle his emotions and he's totally lying to himself and other. I pre-grieved. It was such a funny fucking plot point.
This
saying that you pre-grieved is like so funny. And I thought Gemini, just because he's sharp, he's fast, he's witty, but then there's this other side that comes out where you're like, oh, but you're also the opposite, like in and of yourself.
I could see that. He's a Leo Gemini or a Gemini Leo. And he is a little bit of a sociopath. We've got some suggestions.
I mean, they kind of all are.
Yeah, they are. But he especially. I mean, he's the one who in the first episode dangles a $100 bill in front of that little kid's face and then won't give it to him.
Like, oh, I forgot.
He is the most outwardly
mean.
Like, he goes to the freaking, you know, it was like basically a proxy BLM protest and is screaming at them, calling them all morons. Like, he is.
Yeah, but that, I feel like that was because he wanted them to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, but it is also because he looks down on them. Like, he does think he's better than them. Like,
I think that that's where it's Gemini, because I think on the one hand, he does look down on them. On the other, he has to keep telling himself that because he feels like such a broken loser who offers nothing inside.
Yes. He's S and M. He is the S and the M. Like,
yes. Yes.
He fully is. We've got a suggestion from the crowd. Casey says Cancer because he has mommy and daddy issues.
I had him as Cancer. I had him as Gemini Cancer.
So he's you.
without the Capricorn.
I know, yeah, there's no Capricorn in his chart,
but he is like me in that way. I mean, yeah, I thought he was Gemini Cancer because at the end of the day, like, he has this hard exterior, but he is so soft. But see, I would see him as a Gemini Sun Cancer Moon because his emotionality is so changeable and up and down and moody, but whereas his persona is very like up, light, I'm good, I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah, I think we've got, I think Gemini Cancer Leo in
Gemini,
some
Cancer,
permutation.
Leo.
Yeah. That's Roman Roy. Okay, so Kendall, what do you think about Kendall? So I have to say, I saw from the, I tried really hard not to look at social media all day. And I saw one post that was like a picture of Kendall looking sad. And someone was like, wow, that's finale, OMG. And I was like, he kills himself, doesn't he? Because I was thinking Mad Men, because everyone thought that Don Draper was going to kill himself at the end of Mad Men. But I was also like, they're not going to end this series with two deaths, a series that had no deaths. Like, they're not going to do that. But I told you over text message, when they were all signing the papers, I was like, if this was The Sopranos or Yellowstone or Breaking Bad, we would have seen his body flying behind them and behind those floor to ceiling windows.
Yeah.
Because the last shot we saw of him before that, he was getting into an elevator. So you think he's going up to the roof and he's gonna jump. And like, but none of his siblings are, I think his siblings know that he's far too high on his own supply to ever actually commit. And like, no one runs after him and is like, you're okay, you're gonna be okay. But like, yeah, that's what I was like, oh my God, imagine if they just used visual storytelling for the first time in this show's history and had him go behind them like a fucking Kirsten Johnston in Sex and the City.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like that's funny. I forgot. That's a great reference. Yeah. That was a great arc.
And they kind of, they kind of make you think he's going to do it again when he's walking out and looking toward the river, which again, this is visual storytelling. So I have to sort of eat my words that I said in the beginning a little bit.
Well, and with his father's bodyguard now just following him everywhere, you know, his protection.
Like a ghost. So Shakespearean.
So Shakespearean. And it's like, he all but died. I mean, that is the end of his life. Like, I think that this is going to be the thing that he, it, you know, past the finale, we can imagine that he is just a shell of a man for the rest of his life, maybe gets a disease and dies fairly young. Like, this is the loss of his life. He will never recover. And he is a dead person just still living.
You know what was really also, just to circle back to the part where his wife is taking the kids away at his, on the day of his father's funeral. I actually sided with Kendall on that. I kind of was like,
really?
First of all, nowhere is going to be safer for these kids than a funeral where all of the like the president elect is there. Like, nothing's happening at this funeral.
Well, but you know, but that's not true. No, that's not, I think that actually is not true. I think they, that was the point of the Kendall scene partially, that like, if you just walk out the doors, there are riots in the streets. When Roman walked out the door, there are literally riots. And yeah, but the street, they were crowding their house.
But they had a police detail all around where the funeral was. Like, I think it's so much safer to be in the crowd with all the VIPs than it is to be off alone upstate. And I just think that the ex-wife was kind of trying to just be like, look, you haven't been a father this whole time. We're not going to pretend you're a father now.
Yeah.
But just for me, as a Capricorn, you know me, I think Meghan should have gone to the coronation. I think they should have had those kids front center. Secure your legacy, secure the bag. That's what I'm thinking. Get the kids there.
I think the point of that from a storytelling perspective was just to see the beginning of the end of Kendall, where he like has officially lost it all. And like, he's going to lose it all. And it was like the perfect character arc. Cause you're like, okay, but in the end it was all for this. And then it's like, no, it was all for nothing. And you've lost everything.
And you could see him justifying it to himself because his dad would have done the same thing.
Right. And there was so much of that. I felt like, it's like whenever there were these moments of humanity in the characters, then there was that sort of heady, you could, the looks in their eyes were, the acting superb. You could just see them all going, what would my dad have done? He would have done the most selfish asshole thing.
Yeah.
And they did.
Okay. So what do you think?
But okay. So what do we think? I saw Kendall as sort of an Aries. Like, he believes, like him just continuing to say that he's the first son when he's not is so funny.
It's so funny.
Him feeling like he, even if he has no experience and no idea what he's doing and like is totally unqualified, he feels that he is the rightful heir and that he is the most qualified. And I thought his ability, like he clearly does have good leadership skills. He does command the stage, but yeah, his plans are also not very well thought through. He ultimately is really selfish. And I think that's why Shiv doesn't trust him in the end, because he would turn on her in a second.
Yeah. He turned on their dad.
He doesn't need her.
He's been the biggest Benedict Arnold this whole time. I think that he is, now this is going to be a real deep cut. I think his south node is in Aquarius because he thinks he's godlike. He thinks he has it all zipped up. He thinks he knows all the cogs that are turning, but he consistently has the rug ripped from under him. So like, what would his north node be is if his south node was Aquarius?
Opposite Leo.
So Leo North Node. So like,
I mean, I could see them all being North Node Leos, South Node Aquarius, because the other thing too is a South Node Aquarius is coming from like South Node Aquarius is coming from a detached system place, whereas they all are struggling with, like, they're all emotional, but they all don't have good relationships with their emotions.
And they all would do better in life as a dodo figurehead. They would all be better
right.
as a model / DJ. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, all three of totally. those Roy kids. So I could,
which is why ultimately, like, I do think that that's where we saw genuine relief from Roman in the end.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he felt that he got his comeuppance. He deserved to get the shit beat out of him. He was happy to be out of the corporate world. And he now, you get the sense like, all right, he's in the bar having a martini. He's going to be the playboy, the bullshit nepo playboy of his dreams. And that is enough for
it's
him.
It's perfect for him. So we do have some interesting suggestions from the crowd on Kendall.
Hmm.
I really like both of these. From Elissa, he has to be water, probably Cancer, because he's one sensitive MF-er.
I also had him. I had him as an Aries sun, Cancer moon.
What are the water signs again?
Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I have a hard time with him because he's very diplomatic. I could see him having some Libra because he actually is doing a good job toward the end, like smoothing things over with people and glad handing mm-hmm. and looking like he's in control. Like, I think he's got some of that Libra diplomacy.
And he does bring people together well, actually. Like, he does, like, appear to be, but I don't know. That's where the Libra Aries axis is so interesting, because it's like all of that we work that he's doing ultimately is me work.
Yeah.
It's just to secure himself. So, you know, but maybe, I mean, yeah, I think he's definitely an Aries sun, could have an, but a side note, if he was a Libra, Libras aren't as, they're intellectually emotional, but they're not as, like, he is specifically emo. Like, he's a sensitive dude.
Yeah, but he also doesn't give a shit about his kids, but also that could be because he's injured, because they're not as real. Like,
not really his, right, they're not, well, and also because he is himself a wounded kid.
And he's impotent, obviously. I mean,
right.
They cast someone with those sloping shoulders on purpose, I'm sure.
Wait, sloping shoulders means impotence?
I think so. I mean,
now that's a deep cut hot take.
I made it up, but yeah, I can't take a man.
I
can't take a man with Kendall Roy's shoulders seriously. Uh-uh.
I mean, I could see him being a Pisces moon, only in that he is a bit delusional and can sort of justify, like, the amount that he tells us that he's a loving father, and you're like, what?
Right. And Sarah,
I do it for the kids, everything's for the kids. It's like, nothing's been for the kids.
No, he's an addict and a victim perpetually,
right?
He's a Pisces.
Okay, so
he's got Pisces.
I think Aries sun, Pisces moon for Kendall.
I don't think he's an Aries sun. I think he's a Pisces, and I think he is Libra. Like, he doesn't fight for anything for real ever. Like, everything is just him equivocating and thinking, what is going to be the next best thing for me? He believes in nothing. We believe in nothing, Lebowski. He believes in nothing. then-
Both Shiv and Kendall could never have been the American CEOs under Mattson, is because for whatever reason, they both actually thought that they had, like, ideas. Like, they had ideas right. for the company. At least Roman knew, like, nah, like, we're just the boss's kids. And he was more real about that.
Yeah, Roman knew he was an enforcer, if anything.
Right.
Like he's going to go blow. He's going to go rhetorically blow someone's kneecaps off. But like,
yes,
it ends there.
Yes.
Like he knew.
100%. Yeah. But I think that Kendall's idea that he really like had ideas for the, to me, Aries, Sun, Pisces, Moon makes sense because like he's creative. He has these visions, but then it's also just like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it. And you don't know, you just sound like, you don't know what, and he flip and flops just to serve his own ego. It's like,
you're right.
You are not actually thinking things through.
You're right. The unearned confidence is very Aries.
Unearned confidence. I think it is.
Aries, Pisces, Libra is the vibe for Kendall.
Yeah, I could see him being a Libra rising. I could see him being a Libra rising for sure.
Yeah. Our other suggestion though is one of our other suggestions, we got so many, we can't even read them all.
Thank you guys so much.
Is Taurus dictator. Now that's a thinker. We didn't even think about that. We didn't even think about Taurus being dictators.
We never do.
I can see this, but I also really like our Aries, Pisces, Libra thing.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a Taurus. I could see Caroline being more of that Taurus dictator because ultimately she took a payout instead of her kids and literally just cares about her own comfort and is an asshole, but like just cares about her luxury life and really nothing else.
Who the fuck is Caroline? Oh, is
their mom.
She is so funny. Oh my God. She needs a spinoff. She's hilarious.
She's great. I love her line when they were in the kitchen, like, oh, I see you're all just bonding over what a bad mother, something to bond over other than what a bad mother I am. Like, oh, it's like, oh my God. Yeah. She was such a fully formed character, even though she was a side character.
She was so
fully all the formed. Characters were so fully formed. I mean, it was beautiful work, beautiful writing, beautiful acting, like all around. This will go down in history as one of the greatest teleplays of all time.
For sure. Here's who I think is a Taurus. Connor.
I think Connor's a Pisces, Sun, Taurus, Moon.
Okay. Connor, I don't know why I have a real soft spot for him. He's just so depressing. He's like a little sad doggy.
The softest.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could you not have a soft spot for him?
He's soft boy. I think he's got Taurus because he does not want to work. He's just doing his vanity presidential run. And he thinks that like, the writing is just so good because you can imagine these characters in scenarios that they don't even depict on the show. Like, you know that Connor has justified to himself. He said, you know what? I'll let my younger siblings fight over the Waystar Royco Empire because I'm the one who's most like dad because I'm blazing my own trail. And it's like, but also, bro, you're not blazing your own trail. You're blazing the trail that your dad's money lets you blaze. But still, like, definitely think that.
I agree completely. I also think what's interesting about Connor is, number one, he's the only one of the siblings that did not grow up with Logan, which on some level you could say was why he was such a wounded puppy, because he's like, at least you guys got to grow up with him. But on the other hand, it's why he isn't a monster like they are, because he actually lucked out in not being damaged in the way that Logan damaged the other three. He is softer. He is sweeter. The other three kids couldn't think less or care less about, like, I thought Connor's sensitivity was one of the shining stars, one of the highlights of this show. I thought Pisces Sun, because he is just so soft and delusional. But then at the end of the day, Taurus Moon, I mean, I thought it was such an interesting scene where he just decided to outright buy his father's home, because it was sort of like, okay, I'm using my money to secure the nest that I never had. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't close. But then in the end, I sort of had said a few weeks ago, I think just to you, but like, could Connor ultimately, like, quote unquote, win succession? And in a way, when they have all the kids going through Connor's like estate sale or whatever, and they see that, they show that video of like the after hours hangout, and the only one of the siblings that's there enjoying his father and playing with his father as a fellow just adult is Connor.
I know.
Connor's the only one that got to actually spend time with Logan as a person.
He actually does care about that. I think he's got Sagittarius in his big three as well, because he is jolly. And I think he is trying to blaze his own trail, as stupid as his presidential run may have been. Like, I think he's got Taurus, Sagittarius, and I don't know what else.
I think Pisces, Sun, Sag, Rise, because Sag rising too. I mean, he also, like, I believe he was living in New Mexico at the beginning. Like, he does sort of have a more adventure, and he wants to go to like Istanbul. He wants to go, he's down to travel and explore and have adventures. Yeah. I think Sag, Pisces, also the thing about Sag and Pisces that they have in common is that they are, aside from being Jupiterian, it's all about beliefs, and it's all about sort of spirituality. And I think that Connor does demonstrate at least a desire for the spiritual and an inclination for the spiritual way more than the other two. So yeah, my read for Connor would be Taurus moon, Pisces sun, Sag rising.
Right. He definitely went through a puka shell necklace acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And like, yeah. And then
he went to therapy over not having a father growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's the kind of guy where you're like, oh my God, he's so soft and sensitive. And then you give him a chance and get alone in a room with him. And he starts saying like really weird racist shit or like elitist bashing poor people. And you're like, oh my God, but you're acting like a hippie. Like what? You know what I mean?
That's why I think Pisces, because it's like, he is totally detached. Like, it's like, he's so sweet. He's so sensitive. When he's being racist, it's different than when the others are, because you get the sense that Connor is truly like not on this planet a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he really means no harm. Whereas the other three literally specifically mean harm.
I could see that. I could see that. Okay. Willa, you said Libra. We got another Elissa, friend of the pod, also thinks Libra. And we got a lot of people said Libra.
I think she's such a Libra. She's into aesthetics. She's going to redo the whole house. She ultimately chose money and this beautiful life over her technical passion, which is, I guess, is that she's a playwright, but I guess she's a horrible playwright, LOL. But like, I think she chose finances and aesthetics, and she just really is sweet and can make things work. I think she's such a Libra. I think there's probably Pisces and Taurus in there as well. And that's why ultimately she and Connor actually sort of do match in that, like, yeah, I mean, she not only does she believe that she's a good playwright when she's not, and she can kind of tell herself and convince herself of almost anything and really does just go with the flow.
And she was a call girl in the beginning. Remember, she was an escort.
But she was a call girl. That is, that's, she has been the whole time. Even her marriage. I mean, he married an escort.
Yeah.
She took it all the way to the top. She's the best call girl of all time.
She's the LeBron. Yeah.
She's the LeBron of call girls.
Yeah. Okay. We can all agree. Libra, Pisces, I think Taurus. Yeah. Libra, Pisces, Taurus, because she wants the comfort. That's all she wants.
Yep.
And I loved how in the last couple episodes, it was like, oh my God, we've turned a corner now that they're married. She's really standing by her man. Like she is like, she's helping him write the eulogy. She's helping him with his presidential shit. And then in the 11th hour, it's revealed she's fighting for this embassy ambassadorship for him to go to Slovenia. And it's like, oh, but she's staying home for a table read. It's like, okay, well, right. You're still, that's that.
But that's also, that's very Libra though, because you have to remember the four horsemen of the cardinal signs, like hypothetically the four leadership signs, although there's leadership in all signs, but you know, Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, Libra. Like she is doing Libra leadership.
What? How? Why? My daughter's gonna
because it's like I love Libras. Because she is like making nice. She's making decisions based on beauty. She acts lovingly. She brings people together. She gets along with everyone. But in the end, she does have motives where she's like, oh, if I marry this person, that's how I will get to the thing that I actually want, which is enough safety and security to just be a bad playwright.
Right. And also, I think it also has a lot to do with that thing you and I always talk about kind of more off mic, where it's like so many people say they want to do something and the energy is they're putting in is not that thing. And it's like, I don't think, Willa, that you do really want to be a playwright that bad. I think it's your fun little side thing. And you're happy that it gets you away from Connor because he's so weird. But like, I think you kind of just want to be the lady of the penthouse. And that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody won, it's possible. One might argue that Willa won.
Willa did win Succession.
Willa won Succession.
Willa and Tom, there was an interaction between Willa and Tom at one point, and I can't remember what it was. Now I want to rewatch just so I can see it, because they always struck me as so similar, yet so different, because they're both the interlopers, the working class background people, or maybe she's like middle or lower middle class, like coming into this family and kind of like trying to suss it out and figure it out. And like, you could kind of see them like circling each other in the background of scenes a little bit, because like game recognized game, you know?
Yep.
But,
yep.
Okay.
Totally. Well, right. Absolutely. Game recognized game. And I think there was a shared, I think what's interesting about Tom and Willa, one could make, people might disagree when I have a soft spot for Tom as well, but I feel like they do their best to respect this family and this world that they're in, even though they really aren't a part of it, but they are respectful of it.
And they both,
and they want to be there.
I would go so far as to say it. They go right past respectful into doormat territory. The things
absolutely
that the other absolutely members of the family say to the two of them, to their faces, just humiliating them in front of their partners and in front of everyone. And they just sit there and silently take it. Like, they both have just made a complete deal with the devil. But it is also, yeah, that is like, that's why this whole show is such an allegory for the American dream. Because yeah, if you, yes, actually do, if you want to be Joe Kennedy, the bootlegger, you're going to have to cozy up to these disgusting old money people who are going to insult you to your right face. And then your son is going to be JFK, you know? So like,
right,
that's
right,
who they are. They're the ones that are like, God, I have to hang out with these fucking people. But you know what? I'm going to have a kid who is like elite status. How about, yep, Tom? Let's do Tom.
I think Tom is, we kind of did at the beginning, I think he is obviously a Virgo, maybe a Cancer moon, maybe Scorpio rising. I would say Scorpio rising, Virgo sun, Cancer moon, or double Virgo. But I think he is the quintessential Virgo in every single way.
Yeah. That
Virgos don't need, Virgos are, I would say, arguably the least egoic sign of the zodiac.
That's interesting. I could see all
the
of that.
Workhorses there to serve, efficient, helpful, and otherwise, like if they're not fixing, serving, working, they're really not happy.
I can see Capricorn and Tom as well, though, because of the way that he just like silently works his way up to the top. Like, no one,
except I don't know if a Capricorn would be as down for being as low status, even despite his titles. He was an extremely low status character, even at the end when he's CEO, he's a low status character.
Sarah, I used to cover planning board meetings because it got me.
Yeah, but you got out of there.
Exactly. And now he's the CEO. That's what we do. We climb the mountain. Mm. We start at the bottom and we figure out how to get higher and higher and higher.
I think he is so emotional. Like, I don't think Capricorns are that emotional.
I think we are. And we're also, we have a dark, dark sense of humor, which he absolutely,
that's true,
has.
True.
He, to me, is super Capricorn. I could see like Virgo sun, Capricorn rising. What was one of the other ones you said?
I think Cancer, just because he ultimately is like so sensitive.
Yeah, he is sensitive. Like, you can see the pain in his eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
He's talking to Shiv and like whenever things are happening, like, yeah, I think Virgo, Capricorn, Cancer. I agree. And I don't know. I just have to say also with Capricorns, like the main thing that makes us die inside is being in a position that you can't rise from, like being in a dead end. You know what I mean? Like,
right. We have to keep climbing no matter
what. If there's no next title on the board, like, we're dying inside. So I think if we were to pick up 6 months from now, Tom is actively CEO. Shiv has had her baby. He's they're on vacation somewhere. Gorgeous. He's dying inside because he's like, what the fuck do I do next? And the next,
yeah, he just wants to work. He just wants to work.
Yeah. Like, once you're CEO, the next move is you've got so much money. You need to start investing. You need to become an entrepreneur. That's where Capricorn is going to kind of shrink a little bit, because I think this chart, Capricorn, Virgo, Cancer, is not a creative person. This is not a person who's going to go out on a limb. This is someone who kind of like,
although I don't know. I mean, aside from the Roman Roy of it all, that also is my chart. I mean, I'm a Capricorn moon, Cancer sun, Virgo, Venus in the fourth house. So like,
I know, but you're Gemini rising. Like, that adds so much verve to it.
Totally. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right. I guess that, right. The creative, but Virgo is creative. Virgo is, one might argue, one of the most creative signs. Sure, Virgos, sure, because sure. Virgos can make anything. Virgos can figure anything out. They can make things with their hands.
They're kind of like craftsmen-like.
They're craftsmen. They're specifically craftsmen.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I think Tom.
Yeah, they're not inventors. They're not inventing what they're doing, but they are doing the work of the making of the things.
Tom is going to miss his striving days for a little bit. And that's why I think he's Capricorn. And like, he's going to start to go a little nuts. Like, if he's not like thinking of ways to stab people in the back, like, he's going a little crazy. But I think having Shiv as his commanding officer is going to help him in that regard a little bit, because like, in that relationship, but also he's got all the power now in the relationship. Her dad is gone. She's having his kid. Like,
Well, but we know, though, that he has wanted a kid this. That's why when he said to her, maybe you shouldn't have a child, that was such a mean thing for him to say, because the whole show he's been begging her to have his baby. He says in that fight, he's like, you won't even have my baby. Like, I think that if anything, that his work is never over, because life as a, like, again, Cancer Capricorn would make sense. And Virgo, because, yeah, ultimately, like, he did want to just be a dad too. And I think he will always be climbing the ladder of making, I think he loves Shiv. I actually do. I think he's the only one that he's also, they're all narcissists, but I think he, and it was a strategic marriage, but I also think he really wants and wanted that relationship to work. Also, I could see Capricorn, because as status oriented as Capricorn is, they also can, Capricorn is detached enough to take all of the abuse that Shiv threw at him.
I don't know. I'm a Capricorn and I'm so emo.
But you're a Taurus moon, you're a Capricorn sun, and you're a Pisces rising. Capricorn sun in the 10th house, you are emo, but when it comes to business and professionalism, you're all business. Like, and you appear, why do people DM me like they know me? And they, you're like, why does anyone DM me? It's like, because you actually appear to be a real professional, whether you are or not.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't tell anyone who doesn't listen that Molly's actually an emo weepy dictator.
I am emo weeper. I really, really am.
Final Pisces, person, baby, embrace it.
I know. Final person who we didn't even barely bring up. And I'm shocked because he's everyone's favorite character.
And we do need to talk about it because I'm curious about your opinion about what he did this episode.
Cousin Greg. So, okay, what he did this episode. Let me lower my voice so that Nick doesn't hear me.
Yeah, yeah.
He shivved Shiv. He stabbed Shiv in the back by telling...
And he also tried to shiv Tom.
Yeah. So, okay, the clip that I just sent you while you were setting up this Zoom, did you have a minute to watch it?
Yeah.
Where it's in the first season. This was when I was still trying to figure out what the hell this show was. And I was like, this is hilarious and so weird. They're at that weird, like, Bushwick, like... under the railroad tracks party. And Tom is talking to Greg. It's before they really become bros. They're both kind of like the interlopers, the outsiders still. And Greg tells, or Tom tells Greg, dude, I got a blowjob from a hooker and she fucking blew my load back in my mouth. And Greg is like, what? And Tom just,
was it Tom or Greg that got the load in his mouth?
Tom. And Greg is like, what? And Tom keeps being like, yeah, man, it was so hot. It was so hot. And Greg is just like, what? And like, Tom keeps insisting that it was cool and hot. And you can tell that he's like, fuck, why did I tell him that? Now I'm trying to convince him that it was like a cool, manly thing to do. And he's like, no, it's a thing. You know, it's, I forget what it's called, but it is a thing. And Greg is just like, okay. And then when they're all leaving the party, like a couple scenes later, one by one, everyone comes up to Tom and is like, so Tom, I heard you swallowed your own load. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was so early on, and it was Greg telling everyone Tom's secret. So this has been Greg's MO since the beginning. So, and it works for him. He actually does get what he wants. So he's actually the only person. I think every character that I posted on my Instagram story and asked for feedback about, people suggested Scorpio. This is the only person who I actually think has the follow through to merit the Scorpio title, because he is like, he will use anything against anyone and he gets away with it.
For Greg, the three that pop up to me are like Scorpio, Aries, Gemini. Like, to me, just the inability to just not run your mouth and like tell people secrets and just talk about everything is so Gemini. His buffoonery, his confidence, I mean, and his ability to sort of get shit on, but like just keep showing up and like playing the part. I don't know if it's Aries, but there is like, it could be Aries. It could be Capricorn even, but it's like, that's a huge scene where he gives up $250 million to, he's like, hey, Logan, I hope you got my back. But like, he wants to work.
He wants to be servile. He's got to have Virgo in there. I would say Virgo over Aries, because I think the Gemini covers the loose lips and the Scorpio covers the machinations and the manipulation. And then, but he just is such a sycophant and a doormat. Like, that's what he and Greg have in common.
It's like the disgusting brothers are Virgos. Like, I will just say that. Like, yeah. And it's like they're growing on, because like the one thing a Virgo would not want to be known as is disgusting, unless they're doing it like, that's the piece where they're like, yeah, you know what, we're embracing, right, strategically, and like we're embracing this, and we're gonna do disgusting perfectly.
So we agree he is Virgo, Scorpio, Gemini.
Could see it.
I think we nailed it.
I think we did a great job.
I still have nothing for Shiv in my brain. I don't know why. Maybe I think
just she's such an Aquarius. She's just so cold.
She is so cold.
So cold, so detached, and also like arguably progressive. I think she's like just super. I just think she's like quintessential Aquarius, just all mental, thinking about strategy, thinking things through, trying to win above all and get the power above all, doesn't care about any individual whatsoever, cares about her image, cares about being connected to the right people, will cheat on her husband. To tell him the day of their wedding that she doesn't believe in monogamy is like, you bitch.
That's some Aquarius shit.
I feel like she's an Aquarius sun, Capricorn moon.
But she doesn't work, though. She doesn't do any actual work. She doesn't really work her way up. She just gets plunked into this political power position. And then when she gets bored of that, she plunks herself into the C-suite of her dad's fucking corporation. So I don't know.
True.
I don't think she's Capricorn. I think she's got Leo because she does think she deserves to be a figurehead.
And she's a redhead.
Yeah.
And actually, redhead. Fun fact, redheads, all redheads. Sarah Snook, redhead. Actually a Leo. I think, yeah, maybe she's a Leo moon Aquarius sun.
And she's pregnant like me. All the G's are pregnant right now. Me.
It's really true.
Viv, Rihanna, Lindsay Lohan.
No, it's such a cool time to be pregnant.
I know. And there's so many others. But okay. Yeah. Aquarius, Leo.
You've always been on trend, Mall.
Thank you. Thank you. First person ever to be pregnant.
Yeah. Of this group.
No one's ever done it before.
You're doing it so cool. Everyone's gonna get pregnant after this.
I know. Oh my god,
you called it. People are gonna get pregnant. Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Pregnancy.
Yeah. Aquarius, Leo, because she also, I think she has that Leo glad handing that her dad has. Like, she even if she's not as good at it as Roman is way better at making people think he's their friend, but like she thinks she's that, which is also a Leo trait, even if you're not good at it, just to be like,
if anything, I could see her being a Scorpio rising in whatever way, because she does kind of just like change her costume based on who she's talking to, who she's with, and she does use sex and sexuality to advance her position or to get a lot of things.
That's,
I mean,
true.
Sex has been a big part of her character and using sex as a tool. That's which so, is very Scorpio.
Yeah, that is really true. And I think Scorpios tend to overcomplicate things. And I think she overcomplicates things. Like, it would be really easy for her to just, I mean, for all of them. So, okay, I wanted to read some tweets that I had found that were really good just to be a fucking breathing BuzzFeed listicle. Here are the 12 best tweets about the succession finale. So,
wait, the one thing I'll say for Scorpio, and I don't know if this is the same for Greg, but what I will say, the other thing about Scorpio is that her ability to, I mean, I guess it is Greg too, but like her ability to play both sides, like the fact that she was having all of these covert meetings with Lucas and really like she had a double life there for a minute,
right? And she had no
and
reason to
I think
throw
that's
Roman
very
under.
Scorpio
yeah that is
that's very Scorpio.
You're right, and she had no reason to throw Roman under the bus. She just added him in for fun. Like, I can see why she would want to fuck Kendall, but I guess she was just mad at both of them because they decided to be co-CEOs, which was such a
100%. She never let that go.
Yeah. And I don't blame her, because why?
I would. Right. Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. Okay. So Carrie O'Donnell tweeted, he has a great podcast, Sexy Unique Podcast. He wrote, "They're still rich though, right? Me to myself at the end of that finale." That's the thing. The whole thing.
Right. They all win.
I know. The whole thing, the whole series kind of came across a little bit low stakes to me, just because the unspoken thing that they never even verbalize is that they're all still going to be rich. And you kind of do feel like, what are these people even fighting for? I guess the thing, I guess that's why Connor is there, because Connor is the one who realizes he's still going to be rich and he doesn't have to do this crazy, stupid infighting with his siblings and the rest of them. It's literally their own pathology from growing up in this crazy ass family.
Right. They're all living out childhood trauma and trying to heal their childhood trauma in whatever way, where Connor's like, who cares? I'm rich.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to heal my childhood trauma. KJ.
The other thing about Shiv, real quick, the other thing about Shiv is that the way that she's using marriage, like the way that's very Scorpio, like to use her marriage as a tool or for that to be ultimately why she's safe, I think is very, I mean, it's definition Scorpio. It's that, it's the, okay, Libra's marriage, but Scorpio is like, now you're married.
And I also love how it wasn't her first, it wasn't her favorite plan. It was definitely plan D, you know,
yep,
to fall back on the marriage, but
it was still in there as an option. She didn't divorce him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like she did give it a shot. She was like, I am going to try to girl boss this. And if I mm-hmm. can't, I'm just going to gatekeep it by being yep. married to the CEO. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
so, CEO by proxy.
Yeah. KJ Yosman, I don't know if she's a friend of the pod or not. I can't remember if I ever had her on Diva Behavior, but I did have her on Royally Us when I co-hosted Us Weekly's Royal podcast. Mm. She is a correspondent at Variety. She wrote a very smart Twitter thread that I just wanted to read. She said, from the beginning, it was a piece of high literature, not just television, and that's how it ended. Not with a neat TV ending, but like the Shakespearean tragedy it has always been. And she says, she was talking about their names, like, Roman is just that, a follower or foot soldier, like a Roman soldier, and not the fratricidal Romulus his father wanted him to be. He is free now. Because remember, mm-hmm. Logan would always call him Romulus, and it's like Romulus right. killed Remus.
He's not Romulus.
And he's not Romulus. Yeah, he's not Romulus. He doesn't want to kill anyone. He's just Roman. He's just a little baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. She's a great follow. Lots of very smart thoughts.
But yeah, it's like, and Shiv is Shiv. That's a great yeah. name. And I guess Kendall, all I can think is like Ken Doll, which is like, he's just sort of there for as like the token son.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Kendall means.
Yeah. And Connor, they always call him Con. Like he's conning.
Someone. Maybe Ken, maybe Kendall, like Ken, like we think you can.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And Roy means king in French. It comes from,
oh wow.
It comes from roi, you know?
Wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's a Leo. This is just more evidence.
Such a Leo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But she also, like KJ said, something else really smart. The show is about the resentment of self-made men towards their children who they hate for not having earned what they will inherit.
Amen. I totally agree.
On that similar topic, if you could afford it, would you let your kids ride in business class with you if you could afford business class for the whole family? Or would you make them sit in economy?
I would let them ride in business.
That's because you grew up rich.
I mean, I didn't grow up like rich, and we definitely flew economy as a family. But like, I just feel like if I had kids, I'd want to sit with them on the plane.
See, I have this messed up Catholic thing of like, if you give them nice things, they will become spoiled assholes.
Well, I mean, I will say this, like as a family, like my brother now only flies business class. Mm-hmm. We never flew business class in my life as a family. We sat in the back of coach together.
But if you guys did fly business class, your parents would have got it for you too.
1,000%. No questions asked.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I really have to think about it because I've become a real diva with my flights. I hunt and hunt and hunt and I get as many points as possible so that I can do always at least premium economy. And once in a while, I can get the odd business class seat. But like, if that means I'm going to have to like also get business for my kids, like what am I going to do?
I think as it well, especially with them as a baby, though, it's like you want that extra space.
Well, you can bring them up into your seat with them until they're three for free. So I'm obviously going to use that to my advantage for as long as I can.
Yeah.
But then when they're little, what do? You don't throw them in the back.
I think it depends on the length of the flight.
Yeah, that too. I will tell you the most evil thing that I did witness on a flight one time. I was in premium economy. A woman next to me I realized very soon into the flight, she was a nanny. The family that she was nannying for was in business. And as soon as the seatbelt sign was turned off, the mom came and gave her the baby. Is that evil?
What?
See, like, I
That's would, horrible.
I know. Like, the mom.
What a jerk.
The mom is sitting in business and she gives the baby to the nanny who's in premium economy. So, like, I would be more likely to put my nanny in business and my.
Yeah, you guys take the nice seats.
Yeah, give the nanny the nice seat.
Give the nanny the nice seat. Actually, that's a great. That's the precedent to send to your kids.
That is what I would do. If I had.
Yeah, that is.
If I had
yeah.
kids that age, yeah. like, if my kids don't need the nanny to be. If my kids need the nanny to be right next to them, they all get business because I'm not putting a person that is working for me in economy or premium economy when I'm in business. And. Mm-hmm. But if the kids, yeah, I don't know what made me ask you that. I'm so sorry.
I think it's a wonderful question. I think we're thinking about parenting and we're getting your child prepared for the world. These are the conversations to have.
Ideally, I'll just get rich enough that I can get business class for everyone the whole time.
I think that's like, I don't think, I mean, I do think spoiled kids are like the bane of earth, but I think there are ways to do it. Like, I don't think it's as much about like business class versus economy. I think it's more about your child thinking that they're like better than other people, or your child thinking that they don't have like this show is such a good warning. Like,
yeah.
If you raise your children with unlimited wealth, if you don't raise them to be self-actualized, passionate people that are interested in creating, like, I think it's a creative issue. It's like, there are some Nepo babies, so to speak, that have also done a lot with their lives Jane and Fonda. Have done fabulous creative work. Jane Fonda, even Lena Dunham, or I guess Maddie Healy. Yeah, but Lena's amazing. What Lena's done, whether you like her or hate her, like, she took her resources and works. She works.
Yeah, but
hard.
She gets opportunities that she wouldn't have gotten if she wasn't art world adjacent.
Sure, but don't we all, haven't we all? And she's ready with those scripts when she gets those opportunities a lot. None of the Roys would be ready with those scripts.
Someone else.
I mean, it's neither here nor there. It's neither here nor there.
I know. Someone else tweeted, I still don't know why these children want to work so badly, which I guess we were just talking about.
Well, that's the whole thing, though. They don't want to work. That's why Logan couldn't actually give any of them the go-ahead to succeed him, because none of them want to work.
Yeah.
They just want power. They just want status.
And he knew that. And you know what? This is the perfect thing to end on. That's why he told every single one of them that they were supposed to be the CEO.
Oh, to get that, to see what they would actually do.
To get them to quote Kim Kardashian, get off their fucking asses and work. He knew that if he left it open-ended enough, this would be the only way that he could ever get his kids to rise to the occasion. And they still failed.
He said, none of you are serious people. They all failed. None of them were going
to
win.
Yeah. So he's like, at least I was able to torture them for a minute so that they could actually see what it's like to actually need to earn your place in the world.
Right. And you get the sense that he resents them and that he thinks that they are genuinely fucking idiots. Like, he thinks that they are idiots, and they are.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Well, you know what? I think this is a great place to end on.
I think it was a wonderful season. Everybody should check it out and let us know what you think the Roy family and Interlopers Associated represent astrologically.
Yeah, tell us. I love talking about TV together.
It's my favorite. No, I love talking about TV.
Yeah, it's the best.
It really is.
And at least it has like a little bit of a more respectable sheen than when we talk about celebrity gossip, as much as I love that as well. At least when we do
this, I love both.
At least when we do this, we're like, we can pretend we're doing criticism. Do you know what
we're like, we went to film school?
Which we have to mention six times every time. Every time
we have nothing to show for it other than these high level opinions about TV everyone's watching. But Shiv did end up Lady Macbeth.
Yeah, she did. She literally did.
She arguably did kill her father, and she now is the only one of them that is still involved with the company and has succeeded.
I don't know what you said because I muted it because Nick is in the room and I didn't want to hear what you said, but
oh, okay.
I could tell from your body language that it was spot on.
Now you're going to have to listen to the pod, Ma.
I know. It's
another listen, another analytic to the team.
We'll be getting acquired by Waystar Royco in no time. Okay, good times. Gonna miss this TV show. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. Listen to my sketch comedy podcast, Meet the Junior Misses. I feature very heavily this week in a little sketch I invented called Karen I for the Canadian guy.
Oh my God, fabulous. I look forward to checking that out, and we hope you all do too.
Yeah, I parent trap it up. I play about four roles in that.
Oh, wow. Lilo and you have more in common than we originally thought.
We're both redheads. We both love Coke. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. We both play multiple people in the same thingy.
And you're both Praga.
Yeah.
And you love Christmas movies.
Yes. Oh, my God. We're going to be. And we love Mykonos.
You guys are. I can't wait to meet Lilo and we're going to hang out. We also have that tri-state area bond.
Yes, she is like Long Island trash like us, but we're
just. She's Long Island. She's just the other side. Yeah.
She's a rung above.
A bridge and tunnel, baby. Yeah, bridge and tunnel.
Bridge and tunnel. She's a rung above us. I think it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. It definitely goes Long Island, New Jersey, Staten Island. Come on.
Don't get me started on that. I have had long debates arguing the demeriting. That's what everybody thinks. That's what they want you to think. I don't know. I'm a Jersey stan. And in fact, I love a Nyack. I love an Orangeburg. So I don't know. To me, the west of the Hudson is really where it's at, but I'm biased.
I agree. Getting out to Long Island is a fucking faff. You have to go nightmare through the city. Who needs to do that? That's so annoying.
And the traffic never lets up.
Yeah, it's bad.
Jersey, a breeze.
Yeah.
The amount of celebrities that live in New Jersey versus Long Island, I guess I don't really know who lives Long Island, but I feel like everybody gets rich and moves to like Bergen County.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg, Chris Rock,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Tony Braxton.
Colbert.
Liz Montclair. John Stewart.
He's from Red Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jersey wins. Sorry.
Wendy Williams. She's from Asbury.
She lives in Montclair.
Kelly Ripa's from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jersey's where it actually is at. And you know what? Let them all think Long Island is superior. Go there. Keep Jersey for the real ones.
Yeah, agreed. What do they got? Alec Baldwin?
I mean, so Long Island, though.
So Long Island.
That's like exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
Great times. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, everybody lives in New Jersey.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.